Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Jovan, boo-ha! Boo-ha!
Yo, yo! I'm Jovan Buha, NBA reporter and analyst for Buha's Block, and welcome to another episode. On today's show, I'm thrilled to be joined by longtime friend in the industry, Sean Hyken of the Rose Garden Report. We are going to be breaking down Matisse Thybul and his fit with the Lakers. The Lakers signed him to a one-year veterans minimum contract this summer. I think he's a candidate to potentially start for this team, but certainly play a big role off the bench as a perimeter stopper. Might be the Lakers' best perimeter defender on the team right now. So want to get into Matisse's game overall. You've covered him the last 3.5 years of his career in Portland. We obviously know he's a special defender, two-time all-defense guy, has gotten votes for defensive player of the year before. But what, in the 3.5 years you've covered him, have you learned about his game that might not, you know, rise to the surface level?
So it's actually, that's kind of a trick question because I have covered him for 3.5 years. I haven't really actually seen him play basketball that much in those 3.5 years because he just is never healthy. Like, that's really, this is the kind of thing, you know, he got a minimum contract in the Blazers, from what I understand, as much as like they like him as a guy and as like a locker room presence. I think they just realized that he just wasn't going to be healthy enough to even like have interest in bringing him back on a minimum. But if he had been more available and more healthy, then I think he probably would have not gotten a one-year minimum deal 3 weeks into the offseason. But as far as what his actual game is, I think you kind of nailed it, is that defensively, he is, like, I've never seen anybody play defense in quite the way that he does. He is maybe the most annoying guy to play against, like, from an on-ball defense standpoint. I mean, the downside is that he, you know, gambles a lot for steals and kind of get burned and pick up some cheap fouls. But he'll do when he does play, when he is available to play and he's healthy, he'll do one or two things per game on the defensive end where, like, somebody will be like shooting a three and he'll like come up from behind and like block them when they're at the peak of their shooting motion. Or he's one of these guys. Well, he'll just do those types of plays where you're just like, it would be like a defensive, like, highlight play. He's good for like one or two of those per game when he plays. And, you know, generally as an on-ball defender, you know, he's one of the best out there. The problem, I think the reason why we're talking about him as a minimum guy at this point in his career, besides the injuries, is that offensively, he just is not really going to give you much that consistently. Now, I think he has developed into a much better three-point shooter than he was for most of his time in Philadelphia, but that's still a very, you know, I wouldn't call him like a three-point threat by any means. He's just kind of, it's more developed into, you know, if he has an open three and he shoots it, you don't feel terrible about it, as opposed to just being, you know, not even able to make an open three back when he was in Philadelphia. Which so that's kind of, you know, he is what he is on offense and he is what he is on defense. So like that's kind of what he is as a player. But again, I've only seen him play a handful of games over those 3.5 years because he just is not available most of the time.
To that point with his shooting, my read on him is he's more of a guy to your point, that is going to take open threes, but not necessarily contested threes or even semi-contested threes. He is like a swing, open in the corner. Okay, he takes that. If it's a swing, someone's closing out hard, maybe he'll attack the closeout, but more likely it's a reversal back out to the wing. The Lakers are looking for guys that can be dribble, pass, shoot. I think he could do one of those three things and not much of a dribbler or a passer. But how do you see him fitting in with the Lakers and the construct of their offense with heavy pick and roll game, Luka and Walker Kessler, Austin and Walker Kessler? That's going to be the bread and butter. But the ancillary guys on the perimeter, whether it's in the corners or above the break, are expected to be either catch and shoot guys or guys that can extend the blender or your attack, get downhill, driving kick, etc. Like, how do you see him fitting in with the offensive vision?
I think that's about the best situation that he could be in from an offensive standpoint, because you're going to have Luka that's doing so much, both, you know, as far as like creating for others and, you know, getting his own offense. Like, when a guy like that takes up so much of the oxygen, and also, you know, a guy like Austin Reeves, who's going to command a lot of double teams because he's, you know, one of their higher, you know, especially with LeBron now gone, Austin Reeves is one of kind of their primary offensive threats outside of Luka. Anybody else that's on the floor with those two guys is going to have a lot of wide open looks. And that's just kind of what, that's what Matisse Thybulle does on the offensive end. That's what he's going to bring. If he has an open three, he's going to shoot it. And, you know, you look at his percentages when he's been in Portland. And I mean, again, it's super low volume, or not that many games that he's played. He played a total of 132 games in 3.5 years in Portland. But first year he got here, 43.8%. Or no, that's field goal percentage. 38.8%, 34.6%, 43.8%, 39.8%. So that's pretty good efficiency. But again, it's just that was all entirely open catch and shoot threes, like in the corner. He's not a guy that you're going to like have creating a lot of stuff, or you're doing that. Like, that's not his strength at all. He's kind of a one dimensional, you know, offensive guy, but that one thing that he's good at, I think, is actually pretty useful for the type of roster that the Lakers have and the other type of personnel that they have.
And then defensively, you mentioned the playmaking, which I think is special. Clearly, with you look at his steal percentage through the years, he's one of the best deflections guys and steals guys, and even can, you know, block shots and to your point, like rear view contest guys. But I view him more as like a 1-3 guy defensively, and primarily twos and threes, but also can guard some ones. I feel like with the knee surgery that he had, some of the ankle and foot stuff he's had, not as quick and not quite to the same level that he was at in Philly. But in terms of his defense overall, like, how would you assess where he's at this stage of his career in terms of, is he still an all defense caliber guy, but just in like a smaller role, or like what level is he at in your opinion, in terms of his perimeter defense and the impact he can make for the Lakers?
Well, he's incredibly impactful on that end of the floor still when he's available. The thing is, just because of all the injuries that he's had, he hasn't been able to be available that much. So it's, you know, I wish I could say that, like, you know, in Portland, there was a stretch where we saw it over like a large sample size, but it's really, you know, he missed a lot of last season. He missed pretty much all of the season before. So like, it's still just like a very small sample size, but it is also like the first, like, I think probably the most sustained was the first 3-4 games of the season this year, before they started having all the injuries, and this was like right around the time that the Chauncey arrest happened, but they were still like, you know, trying to play that super pressing and trapping style of defense, just being super aggressive, picking everybody up on ball all the time. They played the Lakers very early on in that stretch in LA. I forget why. I think you weren't at that game for whatever reason. I was at that game in LA, but they played the Lakers once while he was available. And that's kind of like the ideal type of system for him to be in on the defensive end, is when the idea is to just, whoever has the ball, you're picking them up 94 feet. You're just going to be really annoying to them, and you're just going to be trying to get a steal all the time. That's the exact type of environment that he thrives in. But he also kind of just like plays free safety and will just kind of, like I said, those rear view contests where he'll just get, you know, somebody, he'll like come up behind somebody like when they're shooting a three, and you'll just, nobody will know it was coming. And he again, he does that like one or two times a game. But to your point, because of the injuries, I just, the quickness and some of the ability to guard, you know, some of the quicker players, some of those ones or some of the bigger players, that I think might be diminished a little bit given just, you know, some of the injury stuff that he's had. And he hasn't really had to play a ton of minutes in any of these situations, both because when the Blazers have had him available, it was when they kind of already had a set rotation. He was always kind of, after that first year when they, you know, traded for him before, you know, they shut Dame down, he was brought in at that point as kind of like an actual integral part of a team that was still trying to make the playoffs at that point. But since then, you know, the next year they trade Dame and it's like they're clearly rebuilding. And then, you know, if he's just injured a lot. And he was never a guy that they like really prioritized having on the floor with a lot of different, either because they couldn't or because there were younger guys that they really wanted to get a look at. And so he was kind of there and he was always around and you would just kind of forget about him because he was on the shelf so much. But then whenever he does play, especially after he's been off for a long time, he'll come in and he'll just, you know, immediately, like his first possession, he'll, you know, steal the ball like in the backcourt and finally lead to like some transition thing. You're like, oh wait, this guy actually just adds a totally different look to you defensively, and another thing that the other team is going to have to be just like, oh my God, we got to deal with this guy.
Now that the school year is officially underway, families are getting a clearer picture of where students are thriving and where they might need a little extra support. It's the perfect time to reinforce what they're learning in class and build confidence along the way. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's unique level and pace. IXL supports classroom learning by providing personalized practice that aligns with what students are already studying. It's proven to improve achievement, with results seen in all 50 states. Plus, one subscription covers everything for all the kids in your home, making it a time-saving and cost-effective choice. It's a resource trusted nationwide, and IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners of this podcast can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local, instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is chat missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
In terms of his on-ball defense versus his off-ball defense, how do you view, like, do you view him as a legit, put him on the best opposing player and he will just shut that guy down almost like an NFL cornerback? Or is it at this point, he's more of that off ball, playing passing lanes, wreaking havoc, causing some chaos? Like, that's the best way to deploy him. Cause I think the Lakers need both of those traits, which if he can do both, that's great. But I think they need someone, even if it's in a bench role, to be that point of attack on ball guy against guards and wings who could just stop those guys from getting to certain spots or funnel them into Walker Kessler. Can he still do that? Or is it at this point, he's not as strong on the ball, and more so it's like the just off ball genius with his IQ and length and whatnot.
I'm going to be interested to see how that evolves, because I, you know, going into this, you know, this offseason, I would say still the point of attack stuff is his strength. And that's, you know, when he's healthy and when he's on the floor, he's one of the best at that in the entire league. But I'm definitely curious if, you know, given all the injury stuff and given kind of what some of their other, you know, needs are personnel wise, if maybe he kind of, the way that he's able to kind of extend his career is to transition into being more of an off ball guy, because there's so much less exertion than there is with like having to like be just like guy, you know, having, you know, if you put him on like SGA or something like that, that's a different level of like having to be, you know, physically locked in to be able to do that. And I don't know if he's, and again, this is why I think you want to have him playing in like short bursts and not having like a super, you know, extended minutes load, and kind of have him just as like a change of pace guy. I think he has the capability to do both, but I would say on ball is more his specialty still.
For the Lakers, I think right now their four projected starters are Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Quentin Grimes, and Walker Kessler. And there's that fifth spot, which could be a big forward, could be a wing. And depending on how you want to slot Luka defensively, I think he's somewhere around like a 3.5 or 4. So you can maybe get away with another wing out there. I think Matisse is going to be in consideration. I look at Zaire Williams, Jake LaRavia, and Mamu. Those are, to me, the four guys who are all in consideration. None of them are ideal. They all have their drawbacks to starting with the rest of that. That's clearly a hole for the Lakers that they need to try to address here. But looking at Matisse in particular with those four guys, Luka, Austin, Quentin, and Walker Kessler, what do you think of his potential fit as a starter? And to your point about his health and his availability, going back to last year, he only played 20 plus minutes seven times for the Blazers, including one playoff game. Otherwise, he was a teens or single digit minutes guy. So I guess there's a version here where he's a placeholder and he starts maybe 16, 18, 20 minutes in the Keith Bogans role for the Lakers. But I think more realistically, he's probably a bench guy and they have to pick between Zaire or Jake. But if Luka's at the four, do you think he could start at the two or the three next to Grimes and Austin? And how conservative would the Lakers have to be with his minutes and workload?
I mean, I think he can play with all those guys. I think it makes, I think he makes sense in a lineup with those guys. I will say if those are the name, just listening to those names that you just rattled off as like, these are the guys that are in consideration for being the fifth starter. That's kind of tough. That's like, you know, that for a team that I, you know, theoretically has like aspirations of contending for a title, which you should be doing when you have Luka in his prime and you just gave up all this draft capital for Walker Kessler, having somebody, you know, those are the guys you're listing off as your potential fifth starters. That's kind of, that's a little tough, but I actually kind of like Matisse better as a bench guy, kind of like a bench change of pace in the way that, like, you know, teams will have like a change of pace guy that they put in on offense where like somebody who will either speed it up or who will slow it down. I kind of like the idea of having Matisse be like a change of pace guy on defense where, like, you know, you kind of have it more of like a set thing with these other guys, and then you bring Matisse in for like a 5 minute burst, and you're it's like suddenly he's just like creating all this havoc all over the court, and it's so much more chaotic for the other team to have to be like, oh, we can't even like make a pass because this guy's gonna like jump in the passing lane and steal it. I kind of think he's actually better suited for a bench role where he can maybe play like a 3 or 4 minute burst at a time and just kind of mess things up for the other team, and then not be relied on for, you know, having to play real, you know, starters, you know, 20, 25, 30 minutes a game, which, you know, to your point, he hasn't really done in a long time just because of the health stuff. But I don't know. I think JJ Redick is a pretty creative coach as far as different, you know, lineups and rotations and stuff that he's going to try out. I think JJ and Matisse are going to vibe with each other, like on a personal level. Cause you know, Matisse is very, I'm sure we'll get into some of more of the personality stuff too, but Matisse is very cerebral and he really thinks about the game in a unique way and has a really interesting way of, you know, talking about it and just, you know, verbalizing different ways that they like to, you know, that he likes to play defense. And he kind of looks at like playing defense as an art. And, you know, I think him and JJ are going to get along like in that way. Like he's like a film sicko type of guy, just like JJ is. And he's like, likes to get really into the weeds about stuff. So I think he's going to be a good fit with, you know, with JJ from like a player coach standpoint, just personality wise.
He seems like a low mistake guy on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, he's the low mistake thing, like, he is gonna, because he's so aggressive as far as like going after steals, he is gonna make some bad gambles sometimes. He's gonna pick up some cheap fouls that he got from going after a steal, but he's also so smart about like knowing when not to bite on a pump fake or something, because he just like knows everybody's tendencies. So there's a lot of that stuff. And then offensively, I will give him this. He's not one of these guys who's like not a good offensive player, but thinks he knows exactly what he is. He knows that what he can do to be helpful on the offensive end is stand in the corner, and if somebody passes the ball and he's got an open three, he can shoot it. He knows that about himself. He's not somebody who's thinks that he's going to be, you know, running the offense and like taking guys off the dribble. That's not something he tries to do. He's self-aware enough that he knows what he is and what he isn't on that end of the floor, for sure.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
A lot has changed since Bob's Discount Furniture opened its first store 35 years ago. Car phones have become cell phones, grunge band hits have become oldies, and you can order furniture online. But what hasn't changed is the way they do business, aka the Bob's way. Doing things the Bob's way means that when I shop at Bob's, I know I'll find the latest top-rated styles like the Aspen sofa for just $399, bedrooms with storage and charging, Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and more. All at 90s-era prices. There's even no money down financing and lightning fast shipping, so you aren't stuck waiting months for your furniture to arrive. Plus, Bob's still makes furniture shopping fun with friendly associates and cafes full of free treats and ice cream. Want to see for yourself? Stop into your local Bob's store this Labor Day weekend to party it up like it's 1991 and celebrate 35 years of doing things the Bob's way.
I mentioned the playoffs earlier. He played 20 minutes in that game one against the Spurs. And then from that point on, progressively had a smaller role in that series. The Spurs are one of the teams standing in the way of the Lakers. If they're going to make the finals, win a championship, they're likely going to have to go through San Antonio at some point. So to the best of your recollection, like, how did his role play out in that series? And why did he start off with a decent role off the bench, and then quickly the Blazers had to pivot into playing him, you know, less and less?
I don't think that was as much about Matisse as it was just that the Blazers, this Blazers roster of this past year just does not have anybody that can score. It's like Denny Avdia, obviously, you know, as far as getting the rim, like, you know, Scoot had that one game, but like, they, you know, Tiago Splitter was trying whatever he could at certain points when they realized, okay, nobody can, you know, we're okay defensively, but like nobody can score. So we're going to, you know, try to throw different guys out there. And Matisse, since that's not the end of the ball that he's, or you know, the end of the floor that he's really the strongest in, that's, you know, he's going to maybe get a little bit of less of a look there. I mean, they still kind of kept him in there again as kind of a change of pace defense type of thing. But when the reason you're losing a series, and which, you know, they, it was a winnable series for them because, you know, they had double digit leads at the halftime of both games, three and four, with, you know, in game three, Victor Wembanyama was still out with a concussion. They very easily could have gone up 3-1 after they stole game two when Wemby went out with the concussion, but they didn't. And the reason they didn't is because they don't have anybody on their roster that can score. And so when that's the thing that you're, you know, it's a weakness, you're trying different guys out, Matisse is going to be one of the guys that you take out in order to maybe try something else.
And then final Matisse question, What's he like as a dude? What's he like in the locker room? You mentioned he's cerebral, loves film.
I'm so upset, selfishly, as a beat writer. I'm like, losing him and Jeremy in the same summer is like devastating to me as somebody that covers the team and is in the locker room and knows these guys. Like, that's like the biggest, one of the biggest like losses of vibes in one season that like, in one off season that like I can remember. Like those, cause like, what I'll tell you about Matisse is he's like one of the most interesting, and I wish, this is one of the other reasons I wish he'd been healthy more, because since he wasn't really ever healthy, he didn't really get to do that much media, but like, you're going to meet him on media day and you're going to come away being like, that was the greatest press conference I've ever, you know, done, because he just has like this way of like, he gets so philosophical about stuff, and he has so many different like interests outside of basketball. Like I remember like right after he got traded here at the 23 deadline, I was talking to one of the team's staffers who was telling me that like when he was first like starting to get to know, you know, everybody in the organization when he first got there, that he was asking her what her major in college was, and she told him that she had been a history major. And then like the next time he saw her, he like got her like a book about World War II that he had read and was like, you should read this book. And then my own like personal like favorite memory of you know, seeing Matisse, you know, of like Matisse doing, you know, kind of offbeat stuff is, and it was kind of a really funny counterbalance of having him in the same locker room as our guy Domin Ayton, because that like DA one time, like, around the same time, actually, like, DA, like, I forget how it came up, but, like, DA, you know, let me hold one of his chains one time, and it literally weighed, like, 15 pounds or something. And then, like, about a week after that, a week after that happened, Matisse comes in the locker room pregame, we're in there, and he's like, guys, you got to check out this new watch that I just got. It's amazing. And it's, I'm not making this up, it literally was, like, a one of those like $15 Casio digital watches that you have when you're a kid with like a Velcro strap. And he was like, he was showing us that like, you know, if you look, if you push this button, it'll show you like the time zones. And it was just like the coolest thing in the world to him. That, and actually, like, you know, I joined Modern Times, and I, you know, record, you know, the interviews and stuff on my phone now, but I used to have a standalone audio recorder. And like the first time Matisse saw me with that, he was like, oh my God, that's so cool. What is, and then the next time he saw me, he was like, hey, I saw, like, he showed me some like expensive, like, you know, audio recorder that's like way more than anything I could afford. That he was like, oh, I saw this on some website. Like, he's like, he's just like the most, like, talk to him about anything outside of basketball or anything outside. Like, it was funny. Like, cause like, you know, he comes from like his family is very, you know, hippie, like alternative medicine type of like, remember when he was in Philly, like during the COVID season, there was like that whole controversy where he got the first COVID vaccine and then he like didn't get the second one for whatever reason. So he couldn't travel to Toronto for the Sixers series. Now, having gotten to know him, you know, quite well over the 4 years that he was in Portland, that makes so much more sense now, just like his sensibilities and just like where he, you know, where he comes from. Like, he was definitely not coming at it from the same place as like a, you know, Jonathan Isaac or somebody like that who doesn't want to get the COVID vaccine for other reasons. He's more from like the, you know, I'm into alternative medicine, and like that's what my family's like whole thing is. And like, he has, you know, he's just such like, I've never encountered anybody quite like him in the NBA. And I think as a beat writer, you're going to absolutely love him.
That's great to know. I'm excited now.
Yeah.
Sean, you are the man. I appreciate you and your time outside of the Rose Garden Report, which I will have linked in the show notes. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
That's it right now, man. Like, follow, subscribe, doing all this coverage of obviously the, you know, the Blazers arena situation. I'm excited to get back to basketball in a couple of months, at least on the NBA side. I've been doing some WNBA coverage now that the Portland Fire are playing their inaugural season. So there's some of that too. You know, that's kind of everything that I've got going on right now. I just go to the site, subscribe, all that.
Awesome. Well, we'll be linked below. Thank you all for watching and listening. For those watching on YouTube, please be sure to hit that subscribe button, turn on channel notifications, and like and comment on this video. For those listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast platform of choice, please be sure to follow, download, and leave a 5-star review. I'll be back soon. I'll talk to you then.